already know the address.
66 Harborview Road.
Hello, hello, and welcome to 66 Harborview Road, a podcast dedicated to ABC's General Hospital. I'm your host, Caitlin, and in today's episode, we are talking about the week of August 29th through September 2nd. And this will be broken into before Ava's incident and after. And I'm also going to do things a little differently this episode. I want to talk about what I least liked first. So we know that Britt's time will either be cut short or she will only come in every so often. So I'm assuming these mutual feelings between Britt and Cody will fade fast. Although he does get a kiss in, she slaps him at first. But then they argue and she admits that she's afraid to like someone because of what happened with Jason. For me, the only reason she was able to get that almost relationship with Jason is because Port Charles forgave her for stealing Rocco and passing him off as her own kid. Don't get me wrong, I love Britt. I'm going to miss her, but this thing with Cody is not the way we should send her out. She deserves better. Which leads up to Felicia and Mac talking about how Dominique could have had a baby and not known it. She was in Shady Brook, etc. They question, why would Leopold hide his own son? I don't know, maybe because he wasn't Leopold's and he was Mac's son instead? And then we're going to hear that some of those years Felicia was in Texas for a long time or just missing with Frisco or sometimes with Frisco, sometimes without. They're going to tell us Felicia had Esme with Ryan through what means? What means? It's suspicious, and I'm nervous to see where that goes. Jumping into Sona drama, Jocelyn sees Nina in the Q kitchen and is ready to toss her out. I loved it. Maybe it was immature, but you know what? Jocelyn does have the right to be angry. Jax was like obsessed with Nina, and Jocelyn wanted her dad to be happy so bad. And not only did Nina lie to Jax, but she played a part in Jocelyn's life as the woman seeing her dad and lied to her about her stepdad. Sunny comes in the kitchen and tries to make peace, and Jocelyn does not care. She says, "You helped Trina, and that's the only reason I'm not gonna smack Nina into next week," and walks away. I mean, I'll give it to Nina. For being the town pariah to like half the population of Port Charles, she's standing up. She's not leaving. She's not cowering. But the way Sunny comes to her defense, it's not cute. He's not doing it in a cute way, to me at least. After Jocelyn walks away, Anna enters the kitchen asking to speak with Sunny. Nina goes out to the side porch and sees Valentine. I mean, I guess it's fine, they're friends. It's an interesting friendship to say the least, but they both bond over having a youth enemy. I just thought that was so funny. Meanwhile, Anna is asking Sunny about Victor, and Sunny has an eye on things, but like he doesn't. We heard about the Woo shipment later in the week, but like, is he gonna find out about Selena and Curtis's meeting? What about the West Coast family? Why did they quiet down? Isn't that suspicious in itself? I know why Anna went to Sunny, but I would have asked Sunny to keep an extra eye on it rather than just asking for information. Now, what I loved was Spencer being drunk. Valentine and Finn finding him, I mean, of all people, honestly, like, great block of scenes. Spencer gives Finn the lowdown on him and Valentine's relationship, and then I realized that Finn and Spencer have a lot in common. Like, them and their dads have shared romantic partners, and it was definitely a betrayal to one. But Finn reminds Spencer that parents turn into people, into mistake-making humans. Then Victor walks in, sees Spencer worse for wear, as he puts it. So he asks Spencer to keep this whole Nick and Esme thing a secret for the good of the family. As Spencer sort of kind of agrees, I mean, if you see this from just Victor's point of view, just Victor's perspective, he's trying so hard to unite this family, and there is a new drama between them every day. Poor Victor in that sense. The other Cassadine is roaming the Kew grounds when he comes upon Liz, and Liz has no idea how she got there, how she got this gash on her forehead. That was no little scratch. That gash looks like it could have blacked her out, like, definitely. But while she's in conversation with Nicholas, she blacks out, like, once or twice more. She tells Nicholas how Finn thinks she's losing her mind and how she can have a relationship without trust. And before they can get deeper into Nick's problems, besides him blaming Ava for everything, just so stupid, Finn walks up. Nicholas becomes so serious in this moment, like, relax. Clearly, Finn wants to make sure Liz is okay after she stormed off after their fight. And then they see lights and hear some calamity at the boathouse, so they go to see what it was. Jocelyn went by the boathouse on her way out of yelling at Nina and Sunny and sees Ava on the ground. Now, that relationship is complicated because of how Ava was the cause of Morgan's breakdown to lead him to the bombed car, but they have tried to move past it. And because Ava is Avery's mom and Avery has a great relationship with Ava, Jocelyn has some respect for her. So Jocelyn is trying her best to help Ava, and Ava is begging her not to leave her. I was tearing up. I don't know about you guys, but like, that was just so heartbreaking. Then we have Dex arrive on scene, and because of his skills from the military and a tour in Afghanistan, they were able to bandage Ava and drive her to GH. By the time Olivia finds all this out, she alerts Mac and Felicia by the stables. Anna gets a call in the Q kitchen with Sunny being there. And Liz, Finn, and Nick arrive to the scene. Everyone is nervous and afraid, feeling just awful for Ava. Now, waking up the next day in Port Charles, we have Sona at GH, Nicholas yelling at staff, Brooklyn and Drew giving statements to the PCPD. Sunny notices that Nicholas is wound up and ends up leaving after inviting Nina to breakfast. She declines because she wants an update on Ava. Jordan wants to ask Nicholas some more questions. Nicholas tries to sort of deflect this when the doctor comes up telling them that Ava's injuries are extensive, but she's going to be okay. Then we see Nina pleading with Jordan to find the killer. Like, no, she's not going to. Like, God, shut up, Nina. So Jordan wants to question all the Cassadine men at this point. You could just see it in her eyes. We bounce to Brooklyn and Drew finishing up their statements, and BLQ tells her cousin, don't wait on your feelings. I mean, hey, I wanted more Qs together. These are some Qs being together. Meanwhile, Carly is reminiscing about Drew, and Jocelyn comes downstairs. Trina comes over to tell them the Title IX has been dropped, and they tell her about Ava. Sunny comes in, which irritated me, and I think it irked Carly too, as Jocelyn is gushing over how Dex helped save Ava. Sunny tells them he's right out front, I'll have him take you guys to GH, so they go. I mean, that was super convenient for Sunny to just be there, I guess. Now Dex is there, and you know, but I don't think Sunny should just walk into Carly's like that. And Joss, are you forgetting you have a boyfriend? Did you even call him yet? Like, there was so much flirting going on at that hospital between you and Dex. I cannot. So Carly and Sunny have to tell Avery that Ava is hurt. And Avery asks about Daddy Nicholas. So gross. Hated it. So did Sunny. So he takes Avery to the hospital. Also, side note here, welcome back, Moss Bowl. It's been a while. You're now in the kitchen. Was it always in the kitchen? Or was it in the living room at one point? I don't remember, but the magic bowl of moss is back. So, of course, Carly is not alone too long with the moss bowl because Drew shows up wanting to talk about their feelings. Carly made some really great points here. Literally, her identity was the girl who seduced Tony Jones from her mother, the girl who shot Tony Jones in court and played mental illness to escape prison, the girl who attached herself to Jason. From there, she just kept attaching herself to men. Sunny, Alcazar, Jax, even her businesses were attached to men. That club that she owned under Kelly's, I mean, Sunny was very involved with that. The Metro Court was Jax's endeavor. I think Carly should find her own self, her own character. And what do we see for Carly? What are her skills and business senses? To go straight to Aurora is too predictable. But when Drew leaves, we get Bobby entering the mix. I like Bobby. I miss seeing her. She also encourages Carly to go to Aruba, which I like. And we all know Drew is going to be there. They will have some big romantic thing on the beach or something. But that's, you know, besides the point of Carly finding her own self. Maybe she'll find something completely different in Aruba. Maybe she'll meet with someone from the West Coast family and not know it and somehow get back in the mob. It's fun making theories. So Drew goes straight to the Savoy to tell Curtis and Portia about everything that happened at the Q picnic, and they share their engagement news and Trina's case news. Portia leaves, and Curtis asks the question a lot of audience members have been asking, what have you done since you've been back, Drew? Besides family squabbles, what are you doing? Whose memories do you have? That's my question. Do you have all of Jason's and all of yours? Do you have all of Jason's and some of yours? Have Jason's gone away and you just have yours? Like, somebody clarify that. I need to know. And I also forgot that Carly has been lying to Drew for a while now about Nina being Willow's mom. I actually forgot about that plot point at all. And Willow is in her own trouble. Terry catches her in the hallway, says, in my office now. She urges her to tell Michael about her leukemia, and Willow is firm on a solid no, but she's exhibiting symptoms that stem from it. So instead of telling Michael the truth, she tells him that she's cutting back on her nursing hours. Michael is too focused on revenge on Sunny, so he doesn't think twice about it. I don't even want to get into the conversation that Mikey and Sunny had in the halls at G8's, but the gist of it is, Michael asks Sunny if he was involved with Ava's stabbing. Dex starts barking like a rabid dog, and Sunny calms him down, sends him to check on the Wu shipment. Michael walks away saying, money can't buy respect. I don't know, Michael, have you lived in Port Charles the past 25, 30 years? Have you not seen how the whole town respects Sunny to some degree? Even the police to some degree respect Sunny? Have you not been living here? Are we not in the same town? I don't understand. A few blocks away, we have Spencer waking up from a night of pouring his problems into a glass of wine, or five, and he's in the Metro Court, checked in as Fred Flintstone. Victor bangs on the door, and they have a conversation about who could have stabbed Ava, and they give their theories. Both plausible, could have been Victor, could have been Spencer. They also wonder, could it have been Nicholas? Then Spencer mentions Stavros and Helena. I was a little disappointed he didn't mention Stefan. but I guess Stavros and Helena were the worst of the Cassadines. I mean, sans Mikos, I presume. Stavros likes to come back every 20 years or so. Maybe he'll come back again. Isn't half the Cassadines are frozen, aren't they? So like they can unfreeze at any moment. I don't remember what happened to Stefan, but couldn't he come back to some capacity? So after this, Spencer goes to GH to support Trina. She's outside Ava's window as Nicholas is visiting. They have a conversation, and I was shocked that Spencer told Trina about Nick and Esme. Like, that really surprised me. Then he tells Trina he will always be there, which is cute, but he's not gonna tell her that he was on her side the whole time. But I think she's gonna come to realize that on her own. And while Nick is visiting with Ava, he says something like, it didn't have to come to this, or something like that, and what does that mean? Why did he say that like it was something planned? I don't know. I caught that and I thought it sounded weird. When Trina was talking to everybody, she dropped a little hint like this could have been someone who used to love Ava or that Ava used to love. So are we thinking it could have been Ryan? I know there was some debate on like what hand was the hook in, and I don't think it could have been Ryan. I kind of want to believe it was that Mason character. I'd rather it just be him. He seems like he's a throwaway character anyway. But if he can lead us to something else, like whatever Austin is involved in, hey, why not? So Jordan enters the waiting area and wants to question all the Cassadine men, like I was saying before. And Victor gives her a very vague answer by the end of it all. And she gives him a smirk like, I'll be seeing you in prison. Like, the way she gave that smirk as she walked away, it was, like, my favorite part of the whole week. Jordan is just out here trying to do her job while knowing a lot of the nuances around Port Charles. Unfortunately, Trina accidentally lets it drop that Ava hasn't been staying at home, making Jordan more suspicious of the Cassadines. And you guys, Tabiana in those scenes with Maura West, I mean, heartwarming. I am so happy that Trina gets to have an adult friendship that is really non-toxic. Like, Ava really cares for her. Ava's not trying to play her. She's not trying to get one over on her. Same thing with Trina to Ava. She's not trying to use Ava. She genuinely loves Ava. Then we have Victor veil-threatening Spencer if Spencer tells the police about Nick and Esme. That was interesting. First, he says, keep the secret and you might get your fortune sooner rather than later. And then the next thing he says, if you tell, it will make things much more complicated for you. And as Valentine said, Victor is willing to hurt his own family. Jordan gets to speak with Ava when she wakes up, and Ava admits there was an argument with Nicholas. Jordan then asks why Nick lied earlier, and Nick is trying very hard to talk his way around it. But please, Nick, we all know you're not a good liar. At this point, Ava doesn't even want to talk to Nicholas, but when Nina comes in, Ava has a lot to say. She tells Nina, of all people, that Nick and Esme had a romp. Like, I could not believe my ears, my eyes, everything. I can't. Then, as soon as they're talking about that, Sunny walks in. They get real quiet, and Sunny says, well, I'm gonna have Frank watching you. Then when Ava gets a scene with Frank, she asks, is Nicholas on that approved list of visitors? He's like, yeah, of course. She goes, take him off. I don't want to see him. I loved it. Loved it. What I didn't love was Sunny pestering Nina about what her and Ava were talking about when they went back to the Metro Court pool. Sunny, they were talking about Nunya, okay? Like, be gone. He's really annoying me. Back at his old stomping grounds, though, Jocelyn is in Carly's kitchen with Cam, telling him what happened and how Dex was so awesome. Cam gets jealous, and Jocelyn is like, calm down, he's military. Cam's like, okay, cool. Well, how's Spencer doing? How's Trina? Jocelyn gets a call from Avery and has to go, so Cam goes to check on Spencer. Jocelyn goes back to GH to look for a charm bracelet Avery dropped, given to her by Ava. Dex is there between shifts with Frank and offers to help. This leads them to the dumpsters, where I'm sure we will get more bonding time with Jocelyn and Dex. Meanwhile, Cam gets to the Metro Court, where Spencer returned to take a nap, and his dreams, all about Esme. Oh my god, that was so awesome. Like, just a great dream sequence. I loved everything about it, how it was filmed, the dialogue, Avery Pohl. I mean, she destroyed Spencer. And for what? Like, she was correct in saying she took Nick and Trina from Spencer too, but like, your goal was to break up Nick and Ava, and this barely is breaking them up. When Spencer wakes up, he begins to write a note to Trina explaining everything. And this is when Cam got there. And Spencer realized that Cam is really a true friend. And I mean, I teared up in that hug. Cam's like, of course I'm going to visit, idiot. I'm your friend. He was just really cute. And really quickly, what's not working for me post-Ava stabbing is Chase and Brooklyn's plan. So you need to make Chase a top-selling artist to make Link jealous enough to want to buy his contract and release BLQ her songs. What if Link finds somebody else and does the exact same thing, but just for spite? Like, he makes somebody a bigger star than what Chase is just to rub it in their face and, like, you know, it doesn't go anywhere. Do we need this right now? I'd rather have an adventure storyline, but it's given me more BLQ and I like her, so I guess I'll just see where it goes. Dante and Sam were also at the Metro Court pool while BLQ and Chase were trying to make Link jealous, and Sam wants Dante and Rocco to move in before school starts. He promises he'll always make time for them, and I noticed, wow, things are going really smoothly for them. So when's this shakeup coming? Like, they are way too happy right now. Like, their biggest obstacle was, do you want to move in together? I'm not sure. Let's take it slow. Just kidding. Let's move in right now. That's not a big enough obstacle. I think something's going to happen. I don't know if it's Lulu or something else, but I don't know. It's going too smooth. Now for some things I loved, Anna and Victor were also at the pool, and she wants to hear about Valentine's transformation into a good guy, and why Charlotte didn't come home for summer break. I could tell she was putting pieces together very quickly in that conversation. So she confronts Valentine in his hotel room, he confronts her about having Lucy to get information on him and Victor. Thank the Lord, because I want Martin home ASAP, and if there's no more blackmail, then Martin can come home. Although I hate that Anna has this information on him at all, because now she can sort of dangle that over him for like any reason, and I don't like that. But what I did like was Valentin divulging everything to Anna, including the Jennifer Smith framing, and that Victor has threatened to hurt Charlotte. The both of them crying, this is just wild. It wasn't hard for Valentin to figure out Lucy was trying to gain information with that extravagant pickle routine. It was very clear. Lucy came to him to ask about removing Sasha from being the face of deception with everything going on with her mentally. And Valentin figures her entire spiel out in like 3 seconds. He's like, so you're coming here asking about Sasha, but that really doesn't have to do with me. So what are you really here for? I can tell you're doing something with Victor with that pickle routine. He's like, I know everything. So a plan is going to develop between Anna and Valentin to take down Victor, while Victor is trying to put the family together. I'm excited for that. Like, really excited. Like, two plans working at the same time but against each other and nobody knows. I think that is great soap. So cut to Brando and Sasha discussing conservatorship options. And Sasha is freaking out and she ends up storming out of the room. I mean, I would feel the same as her. I feel so bad for Sasha. But she's flailing. So she beelines it to the MetroCourt pool where a fan spots her and she asks if the fan wants a picture. Most likely this person is going to bring up the trauma in Sasha's life. How much lower can Sasha get? Do we need to see her any lower? Like, this story is going along pretty slowly, but it's a little bit interesting. Also in the hospital, Liz goes to Finn's office to talk about their relationship, and then it gets deeper. She goes from, I'm so mad at you, to, oh my god, I need help, I'm blacking out, I can't account for where I was when Ava was stabbed. We get a Sarah mention, and that the damage is done, Sarah's going to think something's wrong. So does this mean we're going to see Sarah? I mean, what's the point of mentioning her so much if we're not going to see her? But they're doing the same thing with Jeff and Carolyn Weber, so I don't know, seems par for the course. So Liz tells Finn about the memory flashes she's been having, and she thinks they come from people asking about her parents or her thinking about them. I don't know, I wasn't really clear on that. We also had Jordan coming into Finn's office to ask questions. At one point, Finn says, Commissioner, do we need a lawyer? And Nicholas strolls in to give Liz an alibi. One thing I wanted to point out was that Liz did not want to talk about how far back her and Nicholas go. Like, you guys go back to high school, if I remember correctly. What is the big deal? So you've known each other 30 years. Okay. I don't know why she wouldn't want to bring that up. I mean, yes, they did have that little affair thing happen. But besides that, I mean, they were always friends. Regardless, I hope we get to see a lot of Kevin Collins and Liz scenes. They have scenes from yesteryear too, so you can flash some of those memories in anytime. Laura should be returning soon, right? So if she can comment on how a similar thing happened to her and how she got through it, that would be nice, because I don't want this to be a repeat of Laura's storyline about Rick. Either way, I will be watching it all happen from 66 Harborview Road. You can find me on Twitter at 66_view, on TikTok at 66_HarborviewRoad, and Instagram at 66HarborviewRoad. From the Quartermain Foyer, I bid you a great week. Thank you.